Now, libraries around Wisconsin are making use of federal relief grant money they received during the pandemic.
33 Wisconsin projects received funding from the American Rescue Plan.
We're going to learn about what some of the different libraries and library systems are using that money for and the community services they're providing. And then coming up, we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234, a chance for you to talk about your local library, why you like it, how you use it. Have they offered special services over the last couple of years? How do they fit into the community? What would you like to see them do more of? Shout out to your library now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page.
Madeline Fox reports on education for WPR. You can find her report on libraries linked at wpr.org/centraltime. Maddie, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
Well, there was a lot of money available through the American Rescue Plan. Can you give us a sense of how much of that funding found its way into Wisconsin and individual library systems here?
So specifically for libraries, we were looking at about $3 million from the American Rescue Plan Act that went to libraries, and the grant size varied from about $27,000 to about $200,000 to these individual libraries and library systems.
And you talked with library administrators and librarians around the state. We'll be joined by one here ourselves in just a minute. But can you give us an example of some of the projects you heard about that are being paid for with this federal relief money?
Yeah. So one that I thought was really interesting is the Spooner Library up in, I think, Northwest Wisconsin, has been partnering with a local food bank to do what they're calling books and bread. So it's this combination of like a food box and food access for people who would ordinarily go to a food bank, as well as sort of a portable bookmobile type situation where they bring, you know, tables worth of books to these sites twice a month when they dole out food as well. And so what they were able to ask for was a bookmobile, like a big formal one where they can have all the shelves on the inside and also have food, you know, places with that they can have colder storage and store different kinds of food. And then now they're able to drive all of that around in just an easier way and make it more of a, I don't know, like a holistic experience, and hopefully be able to transport more than they can in, say, cars or vans.
Sure. So expanding into different services and kind of pushing past the boundaries of the library building itself. Was that a theme you heard beyond just that that food truck or that bookmobile?
Yes, absolutely. Well, and I think libraries in general over the last, actually, I couldn't guess how long, but quite a while, have been working on sort of pushing the boundaries of their services outside the library, whether that is book bikes, bookmobiles, whether it is doing stuff like setting up tables at, you know, community farmers markets or craft fairs, and also sometimes co-hosting events with local bookstores or other local universities and places, just to sort of remind people that they're out there. It's a free service. They have a lot of different free services, and to remind people that that they can access all of this with just a library card, and they can access a lot of things outside of the library as well.
And what did librarians tell you, Maddie, about how they've had to adapt during the pandemic and maybe some opportunities that came out of that?
Yeah. So I think we've been seeing, again, over the last several years, a shift towards making more resources virtual and expanding virtual access to things. So that's services like Hoopla that lets you read magazines and watch movies and TV shows. It's some libraries have genealogical services that you can access inside or outside the library. It is virtual lending. I know my own library, I moved to Milwaukee in spring 2020, and most of the libraries were shut down, but my library still let me sign up for a card online, and I could use that card, just my virtual card number, to check out books, or to reserve books, rather, and to check out ebooks and to watch movies, even though normally you'd have to walk into a library and show all these different kinds of proof of residence. You know, they really streamlined that process. And then you did absolutely also see libraries physically taking their Wi-Fi routers to the closest window, so that even while libraries were shut down, the libraries are such a central hub for people to be able to have free access to internet if they maybe can't get it in their homes or can't afford it. And so they were trying to make it really easy for people to access that even while the library was closed.
Well, Maddie, thank you for joining us and for sharing your reporting.
Thank you for having me.
Madeline Fox reports on education for WPR. Right now we're talking about how Wisconsin libraries are using federal relief grants they received during the pandemic. We're bringing into the conversation right now Leah Langby. Leah is Library Development and Youth Services Coordinator for the Wisconsin organization Inspiring and Facilitating Library Success, or IFLIS. Leah, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Yeah, good to have you. And Leah, I understand that in the application process for these grants, you were talking with libraries in your system and elsewhere about the needs they had and kind of ideas they had for spending potential grant money. At that point, what kind of things did you hear?
Well, we didn't have a very large window of time. We had about 2.5 weeks to figure out what the needs were and within the parameters of the grant, and then write an application. So we were really working fast. So we went to them with several options, and we wrote. I was collaborating with colleagues from a couple of other library systems serving other counties. And so we worked on, I think it was 4 different grant proposals, and we just got one funded. But things like outdoor, we were looking at moving some services outdoors. So outdoor seating opportunities, charging stations that were outdoors, outdoor pickup lockers so that people could pick up materials outside. Those were some of the things that didn't get funded. And then the things that did were some outdoor and indoor sort of alternative programming options. So we are purchasing 11 different book bikes for communities that range in size from Superior. So that's like the tiniest library that we're getting one for is Boulder Junction, which has a population of under 1,000. And then some pop-up canopies for people to take their material, for libraries to take programs and or materials and services out outside, whether it's out just out in their front yard or out to the community festival or the park or the swimming pool or things like that. We also got some hybrid programming kits for libraries that are providing. A lot of libraries really dove headfirst into online programming, and they're looking for ways to make it possible to continue to offer a virtual option for folks who have transportation issues or health issues or other issues that make it hard for them to come into the library. But still have some in-person options. Those are the things that we are purchasing with our grant.
And we mentioned it earlier with Maddie, but you mentioned a few things there, the book bikes and the outdoor events that seem to pick up on this theme of really getting outside and into the community and not just being, within the four walls of a library. How important is that to the library mission?
Well, I think it depends, every library has a different, has a slightly different mission, but I think, mm-hmm. Most public libraries recognize the importance of going to where people are and connecting with them. A lot of folks don't really, we're still hearing from some people that they don't realize the libraries are back open and providing services, even though they were providing services all along. And so partly it's just like getting the word out. There are people who in our system, 81% of the libraries in our system are fine free, but I think a lot of people don't know that. Mm-hmm. They think of libraries as a place, they might have associations with libraries that are less positive. And so it's really important for libraries to have a chance to get out there and share information and be there, like the book bikes, people have a chance to take the library services, materials, sign up for cards, even art projects or makerspace materials out to reference, you know, reference services and stuff like that, out to places like, you know, trailer parks and the swimming pool and local parks and things like that, where people might not have, you know, been library users in the past, and it would be it's a great opportunity to reach a broader segment of the population.
And from the librarians and the other staff you work with at libraries, is there a sense of excitement when they get to kind of like launch one of those new programs and work on something like that?
Oh, definitely. I think the trickiest part, I think most librarians have lots of excitement and passion, and maybe sometimes not as much in terms of capacity. And so having an opportunity like this to have at least some of the materials that are, you know, made available is very exciting to them. We, you know, some of these, especially very small communities, don't really have a lot of spare change hanging around for things like, you know, a book bike, which is a sizable expense, or even a, you know, like a pop-up canopy or a speaker microphone kind of thing that will allow for hybrid meetings. So it is pretty exciting to have an influx of that. And then along with that, we've provided some webinar opportunities for people to learn from other folks who are doing some outreach. And so that's exciting too, to just get some ideas and try and keep it. Yeah. So I feel like I've said enough about that.
Sure. Yeah. And Leah, as we wrap up, obviously the pandemic has been a challenging and unique time, to say the least, for a lot of different sectors. I'm just curious, from your standpoint and with your library system, what has the last couple of years been like? Where do you, you know, can you reflect a little bit on how things were in the midst of the pandemic and how you're feeling now about the future?
Oh, well, that's a big question. I think the libraries, at least the libraries that I interact with in our system, have been just steadfast in trying to find ways to continue to serve their communities. They've always been an integral part of their communities and part of the health and support to their communities. And when things were limited to more virtual interactions, that was really, really challenging for folks. It's very exciting to be able to be opening back up for in-person programming and things like that. I think people are very excited about it. It's also, you know, it's a challenging time to be a human in general, and serving the public and seeing the needs that are out there. It's definitely challenging, I think, for folks, but they're, I can't say enough about how impressed I am by how they are rising to the challenge.
Sure. Well, Leah, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Leah Langby is Library Development and Youth Services Coordinator for Inspiring and Facilitating Library Success. She talked with us about how libraries around the state are planning to use federal relief money for projects to advance goals of providing a wide variety of community services.
Now we are opening up the phone lines for you. We want to hear from you about your local library now at 800-642-1234. What do you like about it or the people who work there? What value do you see it bringing to your community? Did you grow up going to the library? Do you go to one now with your maybe kids or grandkids? And what do you rely on the library for? The materials, books, CDs, DVDs, and more, electronic resources? Or maybe you've done job searches at a library, gone to events and programming there, or more. And if you work at a library yourself, what do you wish your community knew about your library? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page.
We'll continue the conversation, maybe hear from you in just a bit here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Dean Kinetter.
I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our talk about libraries in Wisconsin. Earlier, we heard from a WPR reporter and a Wisconsin Library Support Organization leader about how libraries around the state are using federal relief funds for new projects.
And now we want to hear from you about your local library. What makes it special? What did you check out last? Why is having a library important to your community? Give a shout out now to your local library system at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Let's go right to the call, to the phone lines. We have Sam in Madison with us. Hi, Sam.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Very good. I actually work at the Madison Central Library. I work in the makerspace. It's an art space called The Bubbler.
And what kind of things do you work on there, Sam?
We do a lot of different events, a ton of different community outreach events. I can't remember what her name was, but she was saying how, you know, we go out into the community a lot to local parks, different stuff. But I do a lot of screen printing workshops. There's a lot of mural projects. It's a makerspace in the library. It's a fantastic resource. It's open most days, normal business hours. It's great. I wish more people knew about it.
Great. Sam, thank you so much for that call at 800-642-1234. We're taking your shout outs for your local library system, things you love about it, how you use your local library. Once again, that number is 800-642-1234. We heard from Central Time producer Rachel Vasquez here, who said she recently visited the Fitchburg Public Library and says it was just lovely. Rachel says she loves how quiet and peaceful libraries are and loves the crinkly sound of the plastic covers on library books. That's a unique take, Rachel, but thank you so much. Let's go back to our phones now. We have Wayne in the San Francisco Bay Area right now. Hi, Wayne.
Good afternoon. I wanted to recognize the Rice Lake Library for a service that they provided now some, 17 years ago. I was just newly graduated from Tulane University School of Public Health and Tropical Medicine in New Orleans in a PhD in environmental health. Shortly after that, this was 2005, I had to evacuate New Orleans ahead of Hurricane Katrina. And, of course, communications and services and so forth were drastically disrupted in all of Louisiana, a good share of it. I needed to contact people within the State Department of Environmental Quality and also, excuse me, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, I lost my voice here. at any rate, the Rice Lake Library was instrumental in me using the internet services there in order to contact government agencies, both federal and state, at a time when I didn't have internet service upon my arrival initially. Okay. So they were very kind and gave me almost unlimited access once I explained my purpose. And some other resources also that were just exceedingly helpful.
Got it. So, Wayne, thanks so much for sharing that story and for giving us a call from San Francisco today. Let's go back to the phones here. Linda is with us in Middleton. Hi, Linda.
Hi there. I'm new to Middleton, so I really haven't been to this library too much. But I was calling about the Central Library and also the Lakeview Library. I've rented art from there. I've done research there, and they've done research for me. They had a toy rental for a period of time at Lakeview. I've been to the book. Is it the Madison Book Fair?
I believe so.
I'm not sure if that's the right. Yeah, that was wonderful. I've been to several of those lectures, and let's see, at Lakeview there were public meetings for different neighborhood and city things. I don't know if I've done taxes there and certainly used the computer, especially when computers were new. Gotcha. So that's how I've used the library system.
Well, Linda, thank you so much for the call and the shout out there to the Madison Central and Lakeview library branches. Let's go next to Catherine in Iron River. Hi, Catherine.
Hello.
What did you want to shout out to your local library for?
Well, Iron River Library is in the northern part of Wisconsin. We have an excellent librarian, Jackie Pooler. She's as good as any computer I've ever worked on. And one thing I'm really proud of us for doing is we have recently installed a hearing loop system in our library for those patrons that have hearing disabilities, which is quite helpful for them. And we also have a genealogy corner people can do research on, two book clubs, summer reading programs, and many other programs offered throughout the year. So, and our population within our town is just a little over 1,100, but we service a great deal of the rural area around us. So it's quite a resource for the entire community.
Wonderful. Catherine, thank you so much for sharing. And thanks to everyone who called in to share their love for their local library. You can keep doing so on the Ideas Network Facebook page.